With you this afternoon.
We're going to start in verse 1. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 6 to start out. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 6. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Taking a look here, starting at verse 1, there's some things that particularly stand out and are noteworthy. First thing that I want to point out here is that trespasses are possible. If you take a look at verses 25 and 26, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's what the Lord wants. And we know that if we have our mind set on the things above, we will live according to the Spirit. 1 John talks about how we cannot sin. Why? Because it's impossible to do so, or because when your mind is set in the right direction, your body goes in that same place, right? When we're living and walking by the Spirit, or when we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. But the notation here in verse 1 is that trespasses are possible. God doesn't take away our free will. He indwells us, but he does not control us. And so, I mean, there's a sense in which, like, okay, the love of Christ controls us, therefore having concluded this. Okay, but does he take away our free will? Does he say, nope, nope, you can't do that. You're being controlled by the Spirit. You're now an automaton. No. We have our free will. We get to decide where our mind is going to be. And so the very first thing that I want us to notice out of verse 1 of chapter 6 here is that trespasses are possible. Now, it's probably not a newsflash to any of us, right? It's probably not a newsflash. But I want to focus in on something that I will admit to you on a personal level in my life has been a journey, and I'm not necessarily going to say that I'm there. But it's interesting, this word caught, because this word caught has stood out to me. It really hit me a couple of years ago. I think it was, I don't know when. Sometime in the past, it really hit me, this word caught. Because here's the way that Marshall is, okay? The way that Marshall is if there's an issue, let's say somebody's having an issue, and they come to me with their issue, and it's one of those things where their conscience is eating at them, and they really want help, and they understand that they have to go outside of themselves to get help. And man, I got a lot of compassion for that. We've all been there, right? We've all understood we've been in the ditches of life. And it's, I really don't think that you have to live very long to have an understanding that, like, that's exactly what the Lord wants, is he wants us to seek his help, and he wants us to seek the help of people who can help us. And so I have a tremendous amount of appreciation and understanding for those people. Where I've had to grow is that oftentimes that's not the way that it happens. Oftentimes, the way that it happens is what's described in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass. That is, they didn't turn themselves in. They didn't have a conscience that was eating at them. They didn't really want to get out of the sin situation that they were in or the bad habit that they were in, at least according to what they've said to others, and they were caught. I've had to work on my attitude on that because oftentimes it's like, okay, well, if you were caught and you're just changing or modifying your behavior now because you were caught, what's going to happen in the future? But that's why the scripture has some help for us here. Because sometimes being caught is the only thing that will get somebody's attention. Sometimes being caught is the only thing that will get them to turn away from what they are currently doing and turn to something greater. And we understand that's actually, I want to phrase this the right way, but it's actually really of tremendous benefit to us that sin has negative consequences. Because the negative consequences actually are opportunities at wake-up calls. And so, if anyone is caught in a trespass, that means that it's still, you know, the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who had his father's wife, right, he was, you know, everybody knew about it. And there was opportunity for reconciliation. And 2 Corinthians, actually, they're encouraged, hey, don't make it so hard on him to come back because the whole point is for him to be reconciled. And so a couple of things for us to take as far as lessons here. On an individual level, we don't want to have to be the people who have to be caught. We want to be the people with good and honest hearts. We want to be the people who understand that, look, the Lord is the only one who matters, and the Lord sees it all anyway. And so you do whatever you've got to do to be able to make sure that you are in good relationship with Him and working on what you need to work on with the Spirit of grace helping you to move forward. That's what we want. That's the right and proper perspective on an individual level. But if you're in position to be able to help other people in the body, I have to have an understanding that people are coming, people are at where they're at for a multitude of different reasons. And sometimes it takes getting caught for them to be able to see the severity of their own actions, to be able to see the negative consequences that come with those actions, and to truly repent. And they can repent just as well as anybody else can. And the hope is for reconciliation. And so our desire is to see them reconciled. Our desire is to see them brought back. And so the other part of that is, if your desire is anything but for reconciliation and restoration, your perspective needs to change. Your attitude needs to change. You need to repent. See, a lot of times, one of the reasons that some church cultures stay disconnected is because people don't want other people knowing what's going on in their real lives. And so the best way to do that is to say, hey, see you Sunday, see you Wednesday, that sort of thing, but don't really know what's going on in reality. Well, that's just religion. And religion doesn't get anybody to heaven. Religion doesn't give anybody the abundant life. And so there's some encouragement here to bring to restoration in a spirit of gentleness. But the people who are to do that are those who are spiritual. One of the other things to notice here that should be obvious to us, but it's one of those things that at some point I had a Shazam moment. It's like, well, not every Christian is spiritual. Right? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're spiritual. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. In 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 3, there's, are you not walking like mere men? There are those who have been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who maybe are still babes in Christ and are still fleshly because of that. Or maybe they're going through the motions of see a Sunday, see a Wednesday, but their mindset is still on the flesh. And so since their mindset is still on the flesh, they're not spiritual. Or they're trying to justify themselves according to the law. We touched on that a little bit last week, but we'll talk about that more specifically here in verse 1, because somebody who's trying to justify themselves according to the law is the last person that you want in a situation that needs reconciliation, because they don't understand how reconciliation works. They don't understand how reconciliation works, and so they're not able to bring someone else to true reconciliation. And so the only person who can help someone out of a ditch is someone who's not currently in the ditch. We have some pretty deep ditches here in Northwest Ohio, right? And, if you're in that ditch, you're going to need somebody who is outside of that ditch to help you. And so, brethren, if a man is caught in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore. It's always got to be about restoration. Such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. We want to make sure that we're helping people on the road to righteousness, not creating more casualties within the restoration process. There can be some temptation that comes along, not only through exposure to whatever the trespass is, but then also, gossip, slander, things like these, okay, that lead people down a road that is not helpful at all. And so, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. There's also an importance, being out of the ditch. There's a recognition as well, in verses 2 through 5, get into this a little bit, a recognition of where we're at, a recognition of how we're doing. The person who has a gambling problem really shouldn't be the church treasurer. The person who had a gambling problem 10 minutes ago shouldn't be anywhere near the church's money. The person who had a gambling problem 10 minutes ago shouldn't be helping somebody budget, right? It's just some common sense, okay? And so, you can put in the blank there whatever vice you want to or whatever deed of the flesh that you want to, but you have to be out of the ditch. Now, somebody who has overcome that, somebody who's been a faithful Christian, that person who had a gambling problem 25 years ago might be a great person to help the person with a gambling problem today, but not 25 minutes ago. This is not a good idea. And so we want to help more people on the road to righteousness. And if you're helping the person, or if you're if your idea of bringing restoration is having the guy who helped or who was gambling 25 minutes ago to help another gambling addict, you're going to end up with two gambling addicts is what you're going to end up with. And so we want to make sure that we're in a position to be able to help other people. And there's going to be more in verses 2 through 5 on that as well. As the scripture says, each one will bear his own load. Well, you being able to bear your own load frees you up to be able to help other people. If if you can't carry your own load, you're not going to be very available to be able to help other people with their load. The other thing that's needed when restoration is needed is discretion is really important. It's you who are spiritual. That means, okay, there's some wisdom, there's some discretion, there's some, hey, I don't bring this situation home and talk about it around my family. Like, there's some important, you know, wisdom and judgment things that go along with that. And so verse one is actually packed full of applicable wisdom, things in the church that we need to use, attitudes that we need to have. You know, restoration is important. One of the things that's not specifically addressed there in verse one, but like sometimes we have to work through the idea of what is forgiveness, what is reconciliation, and what is trust. Those are different concepts, right? And so, you know, there's some encouragement here for us to be spiritual people so that we can then help other people work through their challenges and their difficulties as well. So verses 2 through 5, I kind of want to take these together as you look at them, and particularly verses 2 and 5, and I kind of want to compare these verses. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. This isn't a contradiction. Sometimes people can read this and was like, well, did Paul get amnesia? I mean, he just said bear one another's burdens, and then he's saying bear your own load, and what's the deal here? And obviously, he's not contradicting himself a few sentences later. And so there's something that's being communicated here about personal responsibility and also about helping other people. So we kind of want to ask the question, what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? And what does it mean to bear our own load? And I'd like to bring out an illustration here of boulders versus backpacks. Now, if you want a visual of this, I preached this message in Wauseon last week, and I had Theo and Simon with an actual backpack, and it was kind of fun. I thought about trying to make Jeremiah and Aiden do it, but it would have been funny, but I let you guys off the hook. You owe me one, okay? But basically, I had those guys come up and I, with a backpack. I'm like, well, the two of you carry this backpack. I mean, imagine that in your mind. Well, what's it look like, two people carrying a backpack? Awkward. Like, what? Why would you ever have two people? A backpack is specifically designed for one person to be able to put it on their back and then have their hands free. Right? But I had them, you know, pick up the backpack together and then had them pick up various and sundry different things while both handling the backpack, and they didn't have to pick up too many things and their hands are completely full. Now, it's not that it was that much stuff that I was having them pick up. In fact, probably one of them could have done it just fine if the backpack was on their shoulders where it was supposed to be. So the illustration is this, is that bear his own load has to do with us being responsible for the things that the Lord has given us to be responsible with, the things that are in our backpack, okay? And bearing one another's burdens has to do with us helping one another with the boulders that are in our lives. You have a boulder of any significant size, you're not going to be able to carry that boulder on your own. You're going to need multiple people working to carry the boulder. And so, in the same way, okay, we want to differentiate between what is a backpack and what is in my backpack of personal responsibility and what is a boulder, right? And so, taking a look at the backpack, you know, very first bullet point I have up there, have you ever known someone, or worse, been someone who has a new crisis every day? They live in a land of Crisisville. You know, we're familiar with Dr. Pepper's Fansville, Okay? They live in Crisisville. And there's a new crisis every single day. And oftentimes what these people do is they make it their life to get you to help them with their crisis. And oftentimes this attracts people who we might call over-responsible. Okay? And they're wanting to be helpful, and they're doing this from a good heart, or they're doing this from a good place, but they end up looking very similar to two people trying to carry a backpack. It's like, stop doing that. It's not helpful with the person with their backpack. It's exhausting for everyone around them, and eventually people will treat the crisis generator like the person who cried wolf. And so there are things that are in our backpacks. Now, kids are easy to use as illustration in these cases. Give an example. Okay? It is your teenager's responsibility to get themselves out of bed. That's in their backpack. Okay? It's if they have teen at the end of their age, and mom or dad are getting them out of bed, we got a problem. And you're setting them up for a life of somebody else is going to, you know, they're already well on their way to wanting to share their backpack with people. Okay? Now, again, the 16-year-old who just gets a car, okay, you might have to communicate to them how insurance works. It's like, hey, you know, it's a brand new world for them. They don't necessarily understand that, like, you know, legally, like, you got to have insurance, okay? This is something that we need to do. Might be a good idea for you to have them call the agent so that they're prepared to do some things, but, like, they might need some help with that, right? They probably can't even have their own policy. They need some help with that. For them, that's a boulder. Now, if at 25, you're still like, hey, mom, am I still good on your insurance, right? Am I still good? Is car insurance still paid for? You're still covering that for me, right, mom? We got a problem, right? Grow up. And so very much in that same way, okay, there are things that we are responsible for, that God has made us responsible for. I've noticed situations where, like, the proverbial house is on fire behind them, but they just really want to serve the church. Oh, can I please serve the church? I really want to serve the church. Is there more that I can do for the church? It's like, yeah, what you could do for the church is tend to that fire in your house. That would be the best thing that you could possibly do to help serve the church, is like, pay attention to your kids. That would be awesome, right? And so it's very clear some of the things that God has given to us in our backpack. They're our responsibility. As parents, our kids are our responsibility. Now, we want to expose them to the church, and we want to utilize the church in helping to disciple them, but they're our responsibility. It can't be like, man, I wish somebody else would really teach Ember how to do X, Y, or Z better. It's like, well, that's your job, buddy. God gave her to you. So as something called DAD or MOM, that's your responsibility. It's nobody else's job. And so, again, we want to take these examples and make adult application, that we need to take personal responsibility. The other thing that we need to do is to make sure that we're taking personal responsibility in a way that is helpful and sustainable, and that the boulders that other people need are real boulders. I'll give you an example. As many of you know, we really don't have a working telephone here, and I'm really thankful for that, because when you have a working telephone, the only thing that you get are these, like, hey, I need money for X, Y, or Z. Okay, that's what you get. Now, I still get those sometimes in Wauseon, even though we don't have a telephone there either. But I had one recently in Wauseon. I was talking to the guy, and it ended up being, I mean, it was a huge just time waster. Okay, but it was one of those deals where, like, I don't want to shut myself out to those things. I wanted to get to know this guy. He was local. And so I was having a conversation with him, right? And we had a conversation. And, like, I'm on the phone for, like, 30 or 35 minutes with this guy. And I had, like, 12 other things that I needed to be doing. But, like, there were also a lot of just, like, things weren't right. And I was like, I'm just going to keep sitting down in this until I figure out what's really going on here, right? And finally, long story short, I said, what's your last name again? And he was like, well, why? Well, because you're asking me for money, that's why. And then he told me, and it hit me. Ever have one of those moments where it's like, oh, could have had a V8, right? The kids don't get it, that's okay. You know, it's like, I was hit like a ton of bricks. I was like, we had this very same discussion 3 years ago. Your exact same story, this exact same discussion, the exact same details. We had this conversation 3 years ago. And I got it actually confirmed because I had him send me a text, and I had text history with that very guy. And it hit me once he told me his last name. You know, the worst thing that I could have done for that guy is to let him off the hook and to give him money. That is the very worst thing that I could have done for that guy, to be able to learn to take his backpack. Again, I offered him for something that is probably a boulder in his life. I said, hey, you want to study the Bible? Right? Are you spiritually interested? I'm interested in helping you there. Right? But the worst thing that I could have done is to be able to help him with what his perceived need was. And these guys are good at telling you the things that they think that you want to hear. And so we want to make application that we handle our backpack so that we are available to help other people with their boulders. Because there are real boulders that people come across. You go through a time of loss. Right? You lose a spouse. You lose a father or a mother. You lose a child. Those are boulders. You go through a broken relationship. You have an accident. Like, there are things that are boulders where, hey man, we need help with this. Things can be heavy. Things can be almost impossible for us to manage them on our own. Sometimes they're even just emotional in nature or spiritual in nature. And that's why God has put the body of Christ together, to be able to help one another, to be able to overcome and to carry those boulders for however long we need to carry those boulders. That's where God has designed his church to be the way that it is. 1 Peter chapter 4 is really clear about that. But the best way for us to be available, and it doesn't have to be all dramatic. I mean, I've been really thankful for, you know, somebody being willing to help you move. You try to take on a move by yourself, or try to take on a move just your family. Very, very difficult. And so we want to be the type of people who can take care of our own backpacks, and that is what frees us up to be able to help other people with their boulders. Okay? The other thing is that certain projects, even within the kingdom of God, I kind of use the individual examples where we go through things. But when you're doing enough in the kingdom and you're trying to make a big enough impact in the kingdom, you're not going to be able to do that by yourself. It's going to take a team. I think the Lima Rally is a great example of that. It's going to take a team, to be able to get that done. It's going to take everybody pitching in, bringing what they've got to be able to move that boulder to have a successful weekend. And so those projects, again, are bearing our personal responsibility, allows us to have hands free to be able to help with the boulders that need to get moved. So then connecting that into verses 3 and 4, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself and not in regard for another. One of the things to note there is that there should be work to examine. If there's no work to examine, you have your answer. And so we should all be doing productive work for Christ. The work isn't all the same, but it's going to be kingdom directed. You know, I appreciate, you guys are probably familiar enough with this that it works as an example, but I have in my notes in Wauseon the example of my dad and Bill. Okay, my dad and Bill were really good at this. They were both kingdom guys, but my dad and Bill were not going to go about building the kingdom in the same way, because the Lord had not gifted them in the same way. They just hadn't. And so, like, the only time when there are real troubles is when my dad in particular would get out of his lane. Don't do Bill's job, right? Bill is perfectly capable of doing Bill's job. Don't do Bill's job, okay? And Bill never wanted to do my dad's job, so that worked out just fine, right? And so, appreciate that, because of both kingdom guys, both wanting to get the job done, but it's not all going to look the same. It's just for the same purpose. And so each one examines their own work. And so if there's no work, well, then the answer is, hey, get to work. Secondly, is easy to get an inflated view of ourselves. Well, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This isn't helpful. Our standard is not someone else. Our standard is Jesus. We want to go out and live like Jesus and encourage other people to live like Jesus. We don't want to get so caught up in our little worlds that we miss the big picture of what's going on in the spiritual realm. The other thing for us to notice here, one thing that I'll note there, that boasting, it comes across a little bit stronger in the English than in the Greek from what I understand. Again, all my caveats if I'm no Greek scholar here. But, you know, what connects in my mind is something closer to confidence. It doesn't have to do with ego inflation. It doesn't have to do with building oneself up or boasting, but rather I have confidence in my work because I know that I've built with good materials. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that we need to be careful how we build, and that if you build with wood, hay, or straw, you should expect your work to get burn up. But make sure that you're actually building with solid materials. And if you build with solid materials, then you can have confidence in the building. There's also an encouragement in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And verse 9. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. God isn't going to forget our work. He will remember. And so we can take encouragement from that, and we can take encouragement to get to work, as Galatians chapter 6 talks about here. And so the encouragement is to start where we're at, to bear our own load, to take personal responsibility, to make sure that our help is helpful, to make sure that we're available because we're taking personal responsibility, we're available and have our hands free to be able to help other people, but that we're not actually inhibiting other people from growing by giving them a hand with their backpack. Because ultimately, it's our own work that we are responsible for. The other thing that I want to close with this afternoon is our own work. If anybody who's ever been in any sort of manufacturing, one of the least liked people in all of manufacturing is the quality control guy, right? And, you know, in manufacturing, quality control is necessary, but sometimes quality control doesn't have anything to do, so quality control creates something to do. It's like, what in the world? Like, we're trying to get something done here, and you're just creating all sorts of, doesn't make any sense. Well, one of the things for us in Christ is that our examination should be of our own work, not of our neighbors. It's really easy, especially when we're not actually doing any work ourselves, to be critical of the ones that have some things in motion. And that's really dangerous, because that's not the type of quality control that we have in the kingdom of God. Now, it's different from leadership making decisions, and it's different from fruit inspection from the perspective of who do I want to follow, right? There's a difference there. But just to pick on someone else because you feel like it, or because you see yourself as Christian quality control, is death. The Lord actually wants us to get to work and to examine our own work, not that of our neighbors. It is in a person's own work and walking by the Spirit that we have confidence, not our work in comparison with others. And so we want to ultimately be those people who have some work. We have confidence in our work because we've gone through it. We know what it looks like. We know what it takes to actually work the plan. And because of that, we have confidence in our own work, and we don't have to compare ourselves to other people, but we have taken personal responsibility and then can help people with the boulders that they have in their lives. Because, guys, do people have plenty of boulders? I mean, real, legit boulders. There's some people that amaze me with their tenacity, with their the things that they're able to persevere through. And it kind of inspires me. And people who don't even have the Holy Spirit. And we want to be the type of people that are able to be helpful, that are able to encourage them along the way, to be able to be a part of their process, and hopefully their process ultimately of reconciliation. So I hope that can kind of help give us a play frame of what personal responsibility and helping others looks like, and encouragement to be those type of people who are helpful this week.